Have you ever been to a really nice restaurant or invited to an elegant dinner in someone's home, and when you were seated, you were faced with something like this? Now, it is a puzzle to you. You look at it, and even though you may have been to some nice places to eat, you don't have a clue. Because what you have here are three or four forks and three or four different knives and a couple of different spoons. And your experience goes, maybe you eat a lot of your meals or at the TV tray in front of the television. And you have a plate for your food and you have a glass for your drink and maybe a fork. If you're having pizza, you don't even have a fork. But here you are sitting down to this meal. And you don't know what to make of all of these different pieces that are sitting there in front of you. So you pick up a fork and you start eating your salad and you realize that you're using the fork to eat your salad that we're supposed to use for your dessert later. And you take a glass and drink and take a big drink of water and realize that when you put it down that that glass actually belongs to the person next to you, been drinking out of their glass. And so, you know, from time to time, this may not come up very often, but it does pay to learn a little bit about table manners, doesn't it? Well, the same thing is true with the Lord's Supper. We're going to share together in the Lord's Supper and a little bit later in our service. And it's important for us that we understand what's happening and how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to conduct ourselves as we share together in the Lord's Supper. Because in the Lord's Supper, we do really three things. We remember what happened at the cross of Calvary. We're taken back to those circumstances where Jesus died for our sin, and we're reminded of all that happened there. So we remember, but we also reflect. We reflect on the meaning of those things that happened there as it pertains to our redemption and to our salvation. But we not only remember and reflect, but we also recommit ourselves, renew our commitment to the Lord as we come together. Now, the Lord's Supper is very important to the worship of the church, obviously. If you haven't picked up on that, you need to know that it is something that our Lord established for us. And so it stands to reason that if he would make this to be a very important part and an integral part of our worship as a church, that he would explain to us how we're supposed to behave. He would talk to us about our table manners when we come to share in the Lord's Supper at the table of the Lord. And one of those places is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to talk this morning about table manners when it comes to the Lord's Supper. We're going to read beginning in verse 14. Now, the church in Corinth had some problems with their table manners. That is how they were behaving when they came together to share in the Lord's Supper. And it had been about 30 years or maybe more since the Lord Jesus had established the Lord's Supper on the night before he was crucified. Remember, he gathered with his disciples to share in the Passover meal. And so he forged new meaning into that meal, and it became known as the Lord's Supper. And immediately when we read the book of Acts, we see that the church began to worship together. And when they did, they would always share in the Lord's Supper. It was a vital part of their gathering when they came together as the people of God. But here in Corinth, they had forgotten what was supposed to happen. They were not taking seriously the moment that they came together to share in the Lord's Supper. So we pick up reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. If I speak to sensible people, judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. Now there's more to the Lord's Supper than many of us realize. Many times we're guilty of not taking this moment seriously. We let it slip by without acknowledging and about seizing upon the true meaning of the Lord's Supper. And so I want us to see what the Bible has to say here in these verses about the Lord's Supper. First, there's something about our appreciation. Our appreciation. You notice in verse 16 that Paul calls the Lord's Supper the cup of thanksgiving. Now again, remember that the Lord's Supper was born out of the Passover observance. And in the typical Jewish Passover observance, there would be, among other things, there would be the drinking from a cup that would occur at various times in the meal, in the celebration. And it was the third such cup, the third such drinking that Jesus probably used when he infused new meaning in it and said, "This is my blood." You remember as he shared together on that evening with his disciples in the Last Supper. And so it was this third cup. And so the cup of thanksgiving became synonymous with the Lord's Supper. And it reminds us that the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to express our appreciation, our gratitude, our thankfulness to God. It is a cup. It is an observance of thanksgiving and blessing. And so when you think about the Lord's Supper, and in just a moment as we actually participate in it, I pray and trust that your heart will well up in gratitude for all that Jesus did for you when he died on the cross of Calvary to cleanse you from your sins. And so in the Lord's Supper, there's something about our appreciation, our gratitude to all that God has done for us. But there's also something here about our connection. Our connection. In the Lord's Supper, a special connection occurs. In the first place, the Lord's Supper establishes a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. We connect with him. We participate with him in a very real way as we share in the celebration. And Paul talks about this in verse 16 when he says, "Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ?" Now here Paul reverses the order. We typically, and in accordance with the practice of our Lord in the Gospels, we take of the bread first and then the cup. But here Paul reverses those because he's making a special emphasis here. And that word participation is a word that is common to us. We may not know many Greek words, but this is one that you may know. It is the word koinonia. And it means to participate with. It means to share, to be partners with someone. And so he's talking here about when we share in these elements of the Lord's Supper, there is a powerful connection that occurs with the Lord. Now you need to understand that there's nothing magical about the elements of the Lord's Supper. Now there are some who believe and have erroneously interpreted this to mean that there is something magical that happens to the elements when they are blessed and that they actually become the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus. That is not the case. Rather, these two elements serve as powerful symbols for us, but they're important symbols. If you will, just think of them as pictures that we look at. Now, when you look at a picture of a friend or a family member, maybe you have grandchildren and you get an email from your kids and they have a picture of your grandbaby there. And so you're looking at that picture and your heart just wells up with love and adoration for that little child as you look at their picture. Or perhaps it's just the picture of a loved one or a friend that you look at occasionally, and it causes your heart to well up with feelings of devotion and feelings of adoration for them. And the same thing is true in the Lord's Supper, except this. Certainly, when we look at and we think about the elements of the Lord's Supper, it should cause our hearts to well up in love for our Lord Jesus. But in a very real way, what happens here is beyond what merely looking at a symbol and feelings of adoration for someone. Because what we know here is that the Lord Jesus actually responds. The Bible says that we draw near to God and he draws near to us. So that when we take of the Lord's Supper and we begin to think in our own minds and our hearts of the love that we have for the Lord, that the Lord responds to that, and there is a connection that occurs as we think about and as we adore our Lord. There is a spiritual connection that always happens between the worshiper and the one being worshiped. There is a connection that always happens between the worshiper and the one being worshiped. Now, this is the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul is talking about idolatry and about pagan worship, and the connection that pagan worshipers establish with demons. Just look ahead to verse 20, where Paul says, "No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons." Now, the word participants there is the same word that he uses back in verse 16 to describe our participation with the Lord when we share in the elements of the Lord's Supper. You see, some of the members of the church in Corinth were doing this. They were actually going out and not just participating in pagan celebrations, but they were also actually moving right on into the pagan idolatrous worship that went on in the course of these pagan celebrations. And Paul is saying, listen, you have no business going to those functions. You have no business worshiping there, because do you not know that there is a connection that happens between the worshiper and the one being worshiped? And in this case, you are participating with demons when you do that. And the same thing is true in the Lord's Supper. When we share in the Lord's Supper, we are participating. We are connecting with our Savior, our dear Lord Jesus. And so there's this important connection there between ourselves and the Lord. But also, the connection doesn't stop there, because it's not just between us and the Lord. It's a connection that happens between among all of us as we share in the Lord's Supper. There's a connection that we make to one another. Now, there's a symbolism, a part of the symbolism of the Lord's Supper that we miss in modern day churches. Because when we share, when we pass the bread among us, what you get, you'll take it in just a moment, there's a little miniature wafer, a tiny piece of unleavened bread. And you take that, and that becomes your part of the bread, and you take this bread, and it's your way of participating in the Lord's Supper. Same thing is true with the cup, that you get a little tiny cup that contains some grape juice, and this is your way of participating in the Lord's Supper. Now, we do that primarily for the sake of convenience and possibly for the sake of sanitary purposes, in that we don't want to spread our germs among one another, so we each have our little piece. But when Jesus shared in the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he was using something that had a very powerful connection, because when he passed the bread among them, he would have taken something like this, a piece of matzah, a piece of unleavened bread that was really a loaf like this. And when they passed it among themselves, they actually broke off a little piece of that and ate it. And that is what he is talking about here when he says to us in verse 17 that because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. And so there's a powerful symbolism here that we miss in our observing of the Lord's Supper, in that we are a part, we are one. And then when we break that piece off, we're reminded that we are not individuals. Certainly there is an individuality about our salvation, but there is also a commonality about it. We are saved as individuals. We have a personal relationship with Jesus. But when we are saved, we also know that the Holy Spirit makes us part of the body of Christ. And when we share together in the Lord's Supper, we not only are acknowledging our connection and experiencing our connection with the Lord, but we're experiencing a connection with each other. We are all part of the same loaf. And we acknowledge that. And when we drink the cup, the same thing was true. When Jesus would have passed the cup, this cup of thanksgiving was passed among them. And they drank from a single cup. Now that may be a little repugnant to you today, but that is the way it was. And it was a powerful symbolism that we're not just a bunch of little individual Christians that kind of exist out there on our own. We are a part of a body. And we acknowledge that when we share in this supper. You know, when our family gets together for a meal, it is a noisy occasion. And there's lots of laughter and sometimes a heated debate over some topic. We're all eating out of the same pot. We're all serving out of the same dish. We're sharing together in a meal. And the point of it is not the food. The point of it is the relationships when our family is together. The same thing is true with the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul had recognized again that the Corinthian church was having some problem with this. And if you'll turn over to chapter 11, this discussion is continued over in chapter 11 in verse 17, where he says, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be some differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. Because what's happening here, Paul is saying, is that you have ignored the fact that when you share together in the Lord's Supper, there is a connection that exists between us that cannot be denied. And in this case, Paul is making reference to what was going on in their agape feast. When it was the ancient equivalent to our potluck dinners, where they would come together regularly and share in a meal. And at the end of that meal, they would move right into sharing of the Lord's Supper. But what happened is some of the wealthier and better-to-do folks in the church would come get there early. And they'd start eating the food. And by the time the poor folks arrived, there was nothing left for them. And so you had some that were going away hungry because this was their meal. This potluck meal was their supper for the night. And then there were others who were just lying around almost drunk. And he says, you are despising the body of Christ when you share in the Lord's Supper in this way, because there is a connection that exists, not just between you and the Lord, but it exists between the people that sit around you that are a part of the body, and we must acknowledge this. So there's something about appreciation and about our connection, but there's also something in the Lord's Supper about our proclamation. Baptism proclaims the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper proclaims the Lord's death and all that his death accomplished for us in terms of our redemption and our salvation. And that is why that we believe that a person should not partake of the Lord's Supper, nor should they partake of baptism until they have been saved. And when we do share in the Lord's Supper, Paul picks up on this beginning in verse 23. He reminds them of the gospel. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so there's something here about our proclamation. The Lord established this so that the gospel would remain at the center of everything we do. But then finally, in the Lord's Supper, there's something about our examination. You see, there's much more going on in the Lord's Supper than many people realize. And we should take it seriously. And that's why he says in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so their attitude and their actions were sinful in the way they were treating each other. And Paul says, your meanings do more harm than they do good. When you come together, you should show love for each other and respect for each other, but you have selfishly disregarded one another in this. And he said, so when you come together as the church to share in the Lord's Supper, you need to examine your own heart, test your own heart, because if we don't examine ourselves, God will, and God will judge us. Friends, that's one of the best ways that you can avoid the discipline and the judgment of God is to judge yourself, to look hard at your own attitudes and your actions. And so when we come together in the Lord's Supper, we are to examine ourselves. So we're going to share this morning in this very thing, the Lord's Supper. Maybe you understand a little bit more about the table manners when we come together to share.